I use ChatGPT, I use Gemini, and I use Grok.
Yeah.
Possibly switching between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And, it pulls out the pipeline to essentially go through the steps of, the computational pipeline to get to, the mutation we need to sort of see what's causing the cancer, the root cause.
Mm-hmm. And did you actually use AlphaFold? Is there like an open source package that you can download and run?
Yeah. We use AlphaFold too.
Okay.
So from the literature and from also additional LLM sessions, I find out that there's a gene called c-KIT
mm-hmm.
that is one of the primary drivers for Rosie's cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And what we essentially did was take her healthy DNA. So we sequenced her healthy DNA
mm-hmm.
and we sequenced her cancer DNA,
mm-hmm.
compared them side by side, got like a genetic diff between the two.
Yeah.
And then focused in on like the c-KIT gene, pulled it out, modeled it in AlphaFold.
Okay.
I used two different techniques to essentially look for drugs to try to block the cancer. One was genetic algorithms. So, ran genetic algorithms and we actually came up with a unique chemical compound that could block it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I didn't pursue that is because, I actually talked to a chemist about having it made, but the problem with that is you have to like go through the steps of, first doing it in like, in a test tube, then moving to mouse models and moving on, further up. So it's too complicated.
Yeah.
And, the other technique was docking. We docked a whole bunch of these chemical compounds for ligands through the AlphaFold 3D structure of c-KIT. And Rosie's mutated c-KIT and essentially discovered a drug that was very, very strong at blocking it. But unfortunately, the drug is owned by a major U.S. international company. I reached out to them for compassionate use, and
sure.
They politely declined, which is fair enough.
Okay.
But that was kind of there's a second part of AlphaFold we used later in the pipeline, but that is kind of the start of the journey, and around this time was about June 2025, when I went through all of that, and it really took the wind out of my sails because I tried everything. I tried to see if I could synthesize it. I tried to see if I could like get hold of a pre-existing chemical, and one day I was walking Rosie down the street, and I realized maybe I'm actually close to making a vaccine myself, and got back on ChatGPT and typed away, and it said, yeah, you know, you're halfway there. You've already done the DNA sequencing. These are the next steps you need to do.
That's amazing. So back to the lab. You did mention we at this point. So I imagine you've looped in friends, colleagues, like who is around you on this project at this point?
It's myself, and I run a small AI consulting firm here in Sydney.
Yeah.
So just I kind of worked it in part time for about 2 hours every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. Wow. So back to the lab, and they wind up finally making the drug.
So that was a process in of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Went through and did the design of the vaccine construct.
Mm-hmm.
And pushed, I literally emailed it over to the mRNA Institute at the UNSW.
Yeah.
It was like, half a page of text.
Mm-hmm.
The major blocker was actually getting an ethics approval.
Ah.
Cause you can't just like go and make, mRNA vaccine in your garage. Don't let you do that in Australia.
No.
I'd been notified that I had to create an ethics approval. And, again, I spent, I don't know, that was 3 months of my life creating that. And it got to a point where we were actually going to have to modify, the university's license with the government because the vaccine was going to be administered off-site.
Mm.
So, the ethics approval would have only been approved in June, this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, through a connection in America, in Seattle, I was connected to Professor Mary Maeda. I don't know how to pronounce her surname.
Mm-hmm.
And, she, she is like the preeminent T9 sensor person on planet Earth. She connected me to someone in a professor in Queensland, which is a state that's about 1,000 kilometers. I'm not sure what that is in miles. north of here. I was chatting to her, and then I was just saying like I'm having trouble with ethics approvals, and she said, "Oh, I actually have an ethics approval with the government for that specific type of novel immunotherapies, and I'm happy to take you under my wing." I just played it completely cool. I was like, "Oh yeah, cool." but actually,
I was over the moon, up and down. That's amazing.
Yeah, inside my head.
That's
yeah,
remarkable.
Sure.
Oh, that's so cool.
So, once we got the green light to do that, it all sort of like lined up in parallel. I drove Rose up to Queensland. We did the induction phase of the vaccine, and then I just sort of waited to see the results.
Mm-hmm. And so, cancer is like a long fight, but it seems like there's at least some really positive signals, something like a 50% decrease in the size of the tumors. Is that roughly correct? Like, how are you measuring progress these days?
Okay, there's been a lot of talk about that. So, obviously, the visual, the best trait is the reduction in the cancer size.
Yeah.
We also took blood work, which is going to be published in a paper later this year, just continuing to visually monitor her tumors essentially.
Sentry shows developers what's broken and helps them fix it fast. That's why 150,000 organizations use it to keep their apps working.